Last week, I talked about the fact that we have the greatest power in the universe living inside of us, the Holy Spirit. It's through the Holy Spirit's power that the universe was created in the first place. Everything that we see, everything that exists, everything that is created by His power. And that third person of the Trinity lives within each one of us. That power that also resurrected Jesus is what lives inside of us. And one of the things that the Lord is doing is conforming us to the image of Jesus. He wants us to be just like Him. And not only to be like Him in character, but also to be like Him in terms of the things that He did, the works that He did. Because last week I mentioned too that Jesus told His disciples, "You see the works that I do? Greater than these shall you do also, because I go to the Father. But I'm not going to leave you alone, because I'm going to ask the Father to give you the Helper, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit to live within you." And part of His responsibility is to change our character, our attitude, our way of thinking, to become more like Jesus. But the other aspect of His work is to enable us to do the works that Jesus did. And one of the things I talked about last week was the fact that I really truly believe that the Lord wants us to exercise that power that is within us so that we can lay hands on one another for healing, that we could move mountains, so to speak, with a spoken word, to have that kind of power released from within us. But in order for that to happen, we have to be trained, so to speak. The Lord has to feel comfortable in being able to entrust us with that power. Like I mentioned last week, you don't give your car keys to just anybody, especially like a 10-year-old, because you don't know what's going to happen. Okay? You don't give your house key out to a lot of different people that you're not familiar with, or that you don't know if you can trust them or not, or your credit card. God wants to bring us to a place where we are sufficiently mature in Him that He can entrust us with all of that wonderful power. That's part of our heritage. That's part of our destiny, to be able to do that. We are being trained for that. But how do we get there? How do we get to that place where God can entrust us with that power? Part of it is, yes, we are being conformed to the image of Jesus and His character. And that takes time. That's part of the work of the Holy Spirit. But what can we do? What can we do to help that process along? I have a couple of scriptures that relate to that. And here's the first one. This is from Philippians. And this is Paul speaking. "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish." Here, he was successful. He was a Pharisee, trained in the law and everything. He reached a very high standard. But whatever accolades he had, whatever he attained, whatever he had gained in life, whatever awards or whatever, they were like garbage to him. Because what he saw was that knowing Jesus was more important than anything that this life could offer. No matter how many degrees you might have because you attended college, no matter what you might have attained in working your way up the ladder in your job, doesn't make any difference. He said it was all, by comparison, worthless. The most important thing to him was knowing Jesus. Okay? Okay. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. And here's the whole purpose of all of that, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Paul wanted, above all else, to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. And that's what we should be desiring as well, to know the power of his resurrection, to know it in your life, to be able to impart it to others as well. And the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. In other words, whatever it takes to attain to his final resurrection from the dead. But he wants to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. What does that mean, being conformed to his death? Does it mean that we all need to be crucified? No. Jesus' death. He willingly gave up his own life, willingly sacrificed himself. He denied all his rights and privileges and everything that he had in heaven to come down here to die for our sins. He gave himself up. And that's one of the things that Paul wanted to know too. That self-sacrifice that Jesus exhibited, he wanted to have in his own life. And that's part of being conformed to the image of Jesus. Yes, Jesus loved. He had compassion, grace, mercy. But he also denied himself, gave up all his rights and privileges. Just so he could save others. Okay, being conformed to his death. That's what we're talking about here. Are any of us willing to be conformed to his death? To deny ourselves, to give up our rights and privilege to such an extent as he did? To empty ourselves of everything that is self, self-oriented. I gotta have this, I gotta have that, I need this, I need that. I want this, I want that. The focus of too many people, especially in the world, is on self. We want, we want, we want, we gotta have. That's the source of so much strife and hate and turmoil and violence in the world. Because we want something that we don't have and can't have, or something that somebody else has, whether it's material things or power, influence. It's not supposed to be that way with us. We're supposed to empty ourselves because we love one another, because we see other people as more important than ourselves. Isn't that what Jesus did? He felt that each one of us was so important to him that he was willing to give up everything, to give up his life, so that each one of us could be saved. That's the way we need to be. Okay. Here's the next scripture. Most assuredly I say to you, again Jesus speaking, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain or much fruit, depending on the translation and how you want to look at it. Jesus was a grain of wheat that died. And look at all the fruit that he bore as a result of that. All of us and all the other Christians in the world today. So much fruit from his one grain of wheat that died. Think about how much fruit each one of us could bear if we died to self and committed our lives fully to God. Say, okay, Lord, whatever you want, I'm yours. Use me as you see fit. It'd be amazing as to what could happen and how he could use us, especially with the Holy Spirit working in us and through us and his power coming out. It's expressed through love. If we love, that power begins to flow out of us. There's nothing stronger than love. True, God-like love. Think of how much fruit we could bear if each one of us, a single grain of wheat, died to self. Just like we see. Mary and I are seeing in our garden. We planted a few string bean seeds. I can't find room in the freezer for it. It's still coming, too. It's still coming, right? It's amazing. It just keeps producing and producing and producing. It's amazing what one seed can produce. And we are seeds. But we need to die to self and submit ourselves to the will of God. Okay, last scripture. Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Do you desire to come after Jesus? Where is he? He's in heaven, right? You want to be there with him? You want to come after him? Okay. You have to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. You need to do that. These are not idle words. Jesus spoke them himself. You want to be there with me in heaven? Well, you got to deny yourself and take up your cross. Jesus didn't have to walk that walk to Golgotha. He didn't have to, but he did. The place of self-denial, total abandonment of self on Golgotha. Are we marching to our Golgotha to follow him? Are we? Are we denying ourselves? Following him? That's what we need to do. You want to see that resurrection power in your life? You need to lose your life in him. Deny yourself. Lord, I'm your servant. Use me as you see fit. Or you can go through life and still, you know, be focused on yourself or halfway, whatever. But the more you deny yourself, the more you free up the Holy Spirit to work through you, for his power to flow out of you. If you want that resurrection power in your life, that's the way to get it. Denying yourself. But it's one of those paradoxes, though. You deny yourself, but yet the Lord blesses you so much for it that you have more than if you were focused on yourself. You know what I mean? It's true. The Lord blesses you with more because he is so pleased with you focusing on the important things of life, others, God himself, loving Him, submitting yourself to Him, that He just pours out more and more blessings upon you. So really, on the one hand, you think you lose, well, I'm denying myself and just focusing on others, but yet you win because of all the blessings that He pours out upon you for being just like Jesus. But the whole point is, if you want to see that resurrection power in your life, you want to see that power flow out of you to others, to have others touched by the things that you say or the prayers that you offer, that's the way. God will honor that. He will say, ah, here's a child of mine that I can trust with my power. You'd be surprised at what he can do through you. So praise God. I encourage all of you to do just what Jesus says. Take up your cross daily and follow him. And let the Lord work through you. Open yourself up to him. Yield to him. Obey him. All these things will happen. Praise God. Okay, enough said. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, may it be so, Lord, that all of your children, each one of us, not only in this congregation, but your people around the world, desire more of you, Lord. Desire to see more power in their lives. Desire to be stronger in you. Desire to love more, to be more like Jesus in every way. Not only in his character, but in the works that he did. For I truly believe that's what you want for each and every one of us, Lord. To be like him in every way. Help us, Lord, to open ourselves up to you. Help us to say no to temptation, to say no to things that distract us from you, to say no to things that get in the way, but to say yes to those things that draw us closer to you. To say yes when you ask us to do something. To say yes perhaps when someone else asks us to do something, to say yes to love in the same way that you love. Help us, Lord, to be truly children of God that are just like Jesus, because that's what you desire. And may we see the results, Lord. May we begin to see more of that power in our lives. More of the Holy Spirit working in us and through us, reaching out to others. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for everything, Father. May you bless your people. In Jesus' name, amen.